Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchise entrepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Peter King, the CEO of VR Business Brokers. And in 1979, VR Business Brokers set out to revolutionize the way business change hands and aid the standardization of the fragmented business broker industry. And that's coming up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Doing great, Marty. How are you?
Good. A little cold here in Pennsylvania, Don. You know, the cold finally hit. We were getting spoiled there for a while, and it's pretty frigid out there.
Still no snowstorm, but yeah, really cold weather. Midwinter. It's expected,
My son is driving me crazy now because, you know, he's 4 years old, so he's, you know, he wants to build a snowman, and he's got a sled for Christmas.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like every day he's looking out the window asking me, Daddy, when's it going to snow? And I don't see too much snow in the forecast. So, you know, what can you do? You went through that, and you go through it now, I guess, with your twins, don't you?
Yeah, I'd like to have one snowstorm so they can have a little bit of fun. But the way we got whacked the last couple of years with so much snow and you know, it's tough going through that a little bit, but you want to have it for the kids. So I'm sure it'll happen soon.
Sure, absolutely. I know you had a good, interesting article, and I think good news. I think our guest is called in early. Let me see. Actually, you know what? We might be able to pull in our guest. As we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Peter King, the CEO of VR Business Brokers, and in 1979, VR Business Brokers set out to revolutionize the way businesses change hands and to aid in the standardization of the fragmented business broker industry. Let me see if I can pull Peter in. Hey, Peter, how you doing today? Is that Peter? Sorry, let's go back, Don. He's not there yet. I think that was a guess.
I got this article, Marty, from The Street. Interesting.
Okay.
Five Best Businesses to Get In for 2012 by Lori Kolakowski out of New York. What are the hottest industry segments going into 2012? I always like, you know, seeing these type of articles, seeing what the trends are, seeing what the need is, some of the hot industries. The overall economy may have a stubborn gray cloud above it, but there are more than a few industries with significant expectations for growth in the new year. The recent economic conditions have been a game changer in redefining the term job security. Many unemployed workers are turning to entrepreneurism, specifically owning a franchise as a way to become self-sufficient. A typical question for clients, what industries are expected to grow the most over the next decade?
Right.
Pursuing businesses that are recession-proof, such as disaster and restoration services, or businesses that are low in initial investments, such as home-based businesses, are always interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And according, Marty, to the IFA, the 2012 Business Outlook Report, the top franchise business lines for 2012 include personal care services, such as laundry and dry cleaning, entertainment and recreation, personal transportation and credit intermediation, and they're saying output's expected to rise 6.2% next year. That's followed closely by retail products and services and real estate, though this is off a low base, is how they describe it. There's opportunity for anybody who is entrepreneurial enough to go out and start a business, says Terry Mackin, managing director at Generational Equity, a mergers and advisory firm that focuses on privately held, family-owned businesses. And then, Marty, they actually discuss in detail five industries that should show some nice growth.
Okay.
And they're saying whether it's part of a franchise or truly on your own, here's some of the industries. They talk about elder care, which seems like it's always on the list every year.
The last decade, yeah.
Because Americans are living longer. Many seniors are living independently, so we know that they're in the need of services. And we've had several of those types of franchises on that provide services to seniors, so they have that as number one. I don't know if these are in order of what they recommend, but they mention elder care. They mention health and wellness.
Right. Makes sense.
Going and, working out and getting in shape, all kinds of franchises are associated with that. You know, even somebody's, frozen yogurt franchises.
Wow.
And more types of franchises for losing weight. Some of these salad concept type franchises are interesting and probably in that category also.
Yeah, it's an important article, Don. I'm glad you're talking about this today because it was funny. I was listening to our friend, you remember, Dr. Scott Shane, and, he was talking about, it's not so much about the individual. You know, a lot of times we think that it's the individual that makes the business successful, and it's true, I mean, to some extent, but a lot of times, I mean, the industry is just so important, we talk about that a lot, on the show for the last 5 years, look towards the industry. Is there going to be growth in the industry? It's amazing how the senior care and elder care you're mentioning is still like, I think it's on the top, so imagine the guys or girls that got into it, 10 years ago, when it first started booming. So it really is quite amazing.
The third thing, Marty, they talk about warehousing, providing warehousing services and space, particularly for small business, shows opportunity for expansion. And they give an example here that someone has a company and and they don't want to have to rent out warehouse space for the whole year when they might have to just use it for a certain time of the year, seasonal.
Interesting.
Fourth is shipping and logistics.
Wow.
Moving packages or shipments includes all aspects, including insurance claims, packaging, the best way to ship, pricing. They mentioned the franchise unit shippers. The fifth one is outsourcing and staffing. Businesses learned during a recession, some quicker than others, how to cut without hurting business output by recognizing the true value of technology in their day-to-day operations, which includes bookkeeping services, but staffing in general. Companies needing to add employees quickly or people looking for part-time work. I've heard a few times that is a industry that's really growing. So you have elder care services, you have health and wellness.
Okay.
They even mention a franchise, Snap Fitness.
Which I think we've had those guys on the show. Pretty sure it's amazing. We're at the point now, where we've done so many shows, I can't remember. I used to be able to recite verbatim to you from show number one to probably, I think I was able to go to show 150. And I think after that point, I just had to stop because I lost track. But I'm pretty sure they were on our show before.
And it's probably a good idea to maybe have a franchise like that on again. We've covered so many industries and niche services. Now it's starting to get to be the time to make sure we have everything covered. And then maybe go back and, for those industries, we just had one franchise, we should look to get someone else on.
Right, build a library in those particular categories. And it's always a question that we usually ask on the show, too, Don, is when we have, any franchise or franchisee on the show, we ask them a little bit about the industry, if they have any numbers on the industry, if the industry is growing and things of that nature. But, yeah, it is. It's really so important to look towards the industry.
Yeah, and when we have Peter on, this is a question that we'll ask him. What are some of the, industries he's seeing on the rise? Because VR has a nice franchising division as well, which we'll speak to him about. So after health and wellness, we have warehousing, I mentioned, shipping and logistics and outsourcing and staffing, or I guess some of the industries are going to see some high growth for this year. So.
That makes sense. I mean, I think it's a fair assessment of which industries are growing, and I think we've seen it. We got to start coming up with our own list. I think from all the guests that we have on the show, and gathering data and things like that, But yeah, the Franchise Interviews 2012 Growing Industry List or something of that nature, But good article though.
What else here? I guess the IFA. We're always trying to give our listeners statistics and information.
Mm-hmm.
IFA Association Educational Foundation predicts the nation's franchise business count will increase by 1.9% this year, or by close to 14,000 establishments, and direct franchise employment will jump 2.1% to more than 8.1 million jobs.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive. I guess about a 2% growth they're thinking. The report also estimated that franchises are responsible for 3% of the nation's gross domestic product, and that output will grow by $21 billion this year to $460
billion. Wow. I mean, those numbers are significant. It's amazing. Like, even when you sometimes, if you say, 1% or 2%, the difference that the output, that numbers make is really quite amazing, isn't it?
Right.
It doesn't sound like a lot initially, say 1%, 2%, but you see the impact that it actually makes on the economy and jobs and
right.
all that other stuff. It's really quite significant.
And a couple shows coming up, Marty, through our friends at the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a show in Oklahoma City the end of the month, the 28th and 29th. I know you're going to try to make it out to that beautiful state of Oklahoma. and then we have Raleigh, North Carolina.
Really?
Raleigh has a show February 18th and 19th.
Okay.
So,
I like to go someplace warm, quite honestly. So,
Well, that's Jacksonville, Florida, March 31 and April Fool's Day.
There you go.
And here's an interesting article, and I don't know how much time we'll have right now, though, but for restaurant chains, a homespun challenge by Jason Daly. It says franchises get a bad rap from people who are committed to supporting independent businesses who have embraced the buy local movement. Even though most franchises are owned and operated by community entrepreneurs, it's probably true that franchising is the antithesis of localism. When a company decides to jump through the regulatory hoops and pay the upfront costs needed to set up a franchise system, it's sending a message, we're not interested in sticking with our hometown. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if you remember when the whole BP thing happened, you know, but I know those people boycotting BP, and they say, well, you know, by boycotting BP, you're really hurting, I guess it was the franchisees, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's the perception, I think, that people have sometimes is, you know, they see a McDonald's or whoever it may be, and they don't realize that. I mean, it is local, isn't it? I mean, that's somebody local who lives in your area, Colts Neck, New Jersey, or Eastern Pennsylvania, and they bought into a particular franchise system. So, I mean, it's very local. So
right. It says, still, most national chains started out as the type of locally cherished independent restaurants adored by franchise folks. Why did these eateries decide to franchise? Because passionate customers asked them to expand to their neighborhoods or towns. I mean, think about it. At one time, there was a single Subway.
Right.
Fred DeLuca spread in the mail before there was unit number 30,000.
Yeah.
Some franchises that specialize in local tastes, like Italian beef shops in Chicago or Cincinnati chili in Ohio, are content to stick close to home, while other popular private-owned chains are able to keep a short leash on their units. But rare is the franchise that doesn't dream about expanding to surrounding states and eventually coast to coast. I found that kind of interesting. I mean, why would the local person, I've never read an article like this before. I mean, a person's bringing a franchise system locally because it's probably successful. And it's known for a quality product. So why you're doing that town a favor? Hey, you're bringing more variety. You're bringing an established franchise to that local market, and it is a person who probably lives in the area running it. It's not like a corporate owned location. I guess in the case it could be, but a lot of times it's going to be a privately owned franchisee running that franchise. So it shouldn't have any bearing on what someone does, but everyone's going to have their own opinion about it.
Well, it's just that I think a lot of people, Don, just don't get the whole concept of franchising sometimes. You know, when they see Subway move into their town, that they're thinking, okay, maybe it is corporate-owned. You know, they don't understand the concept that maybe someone local actually put into a system. I mean, that person had the option of starting Tony Subs as opposed to Subway, but again, by going into Subway, I mean, they bought into a franchise system. I guess the average person doesn't understand that, but there's probably a lot of people out there that just don't get that, you know?
Right.
And they say, okay, we'll give your business to Tony Subs instead of Subway. it doesn't make any sense, you know? You're right. I mean, we've never, you know, spoken about this, or I've never seen an article like this, in the 5 years of doing the show, so it's kind of interesting. I never thought about it from that perspective.
Right.
The perception of the consumer, you know, and not understanding.
I never think of
concept.
It like that, but, you know, sometimes when you see the large Home Depots and Lowe's and some of these huge chains, I mean, you know, sometimes I feel for the small local business guy. I mean, sometimes I'd rather go to just the local Main Street hardware shop and give that guy business.
I've
never really thought it on the franchising side. A lot of those shops are just small. The Subway shop is small.
Well, I mean, think of it. I mean, in terms of Walmart. A lot of people. There's always that great debate of Walmart moving into your town and putting the small guy out of business. You know,
right.
I mean, I understand something like that, but not like a Subway franchise competing with Tony Subs. I mean, they're both local business guys anyway. So that doesn't make any sense. You know, so yeah. Why don't we do this? I see our guest Peter has called in, so let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Those are great articles, Don. Good job.
Thanks.
Big mouth!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchipreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with Peter King, the CEO of VR Business Brokers. It was back in 1979, VR Business Brokers set out to revolutionize the way businesses change hands and aid the standardization of the fragmented business broker industry. Hey, Peter, how you doing today?
Morning, gentlemen.
How you doing today, Peter?
Excellent.
Oh, hey, Peter, fantastic. It's Don here. Glad to have you on. Your experience and background and the head of such a major company and a leader in your industry, so we appreciate you coming on. I'm not sure if you were listening in the first segment. Martin and I were talking about some hot business segments and franchise companies, but more the different industry that's kind of on the rise and will be really, going strong and growing for this next year. Do you know a couple of those? You know, what would you say, Peter, or a few of those?
You know, I'd say definitely senior care and health care seem to be
hot
trends, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing how long they've been on the list, too, Peter. You know, I mean, they've been saying, like, senior care for, like, it's almost like a decade now, you know. So it is interesting. You guys have an amazing history, and you have a long history. You know, you've been doing this a while. Did you want to talk a little bit about, you know, the history of VR Business Brokers?
Be great. The organization started in 79, and it was really, I guess, the founder of the industry. We acquired it, I guess, 12 years ago. My partner had a franchising background. She was vice president of marketing and sales of an organization. When she started, they had 40 units. When she left, they had 800. And My background was investment banking, so we thought the two were going to be a good match for sort of the challenge we'd taken on. But VR's history was really it started off with sort of a real estate model to sell businesses, and the industry transformed from there. And we thought the opportunity, quite honestly, was to almost become like an anti-business broker. And if you didn't act like a real estate company and you gave the professional representation to the privately held business owner, you could increase sales numbers, but most of all, sort of treat people with the respect that they need when they're selling the family business, whether that's a candle shop or a candle manufacturer from $25,000 to $25 million. It's an emotional transaction, so those people need to be treated with respect, and it's a good group of people today.
And, you know, you have to have, of course, a solid staff and outside offices and people who can learn that. But it's just not about, you know, advertising a business for sale and there's the whole human element to it, like you mentioned, a lot of hand-holding, a lot of emotion. I guess that's part of your training process, right, Peter?
You know, over the last 12 years, we've granted franchises to entrepreneurs and executives that quite honestly couldn't find a business for sale. It's kind of a unique growth pattern for us that people went to the market, wanted to find a business, and couldn't find one that was valued properly, ready to sell, ready to be taken to market or even to be transferred. And, you know, I guess bringing people on board that have already sort of had the frustration of buying a business has been our key people. But that education process and hand-holding, I guess, is a way to say it, is key. I mean, you know, most business owners today, you know, that work in their business, you know, their heads are down even harder, you know, over the economy for the last 3 years. They don't necessarily prepare their business for sale. And when it comes time to learn the value, prepare the business, it's emotional, you know. And if you can't, if you don't care about people, this is the wrong business to be in, because selling the family business is, you know, like giving away the family dog. You know, it's and the apprehension for somebody buying a business, and I'd say 75% of the people who acquire a business through VR are first-time business owners. So it's that should I, shouldn't I apprehension. And, again, it's going from, you know, corporate America to the entrepreneurial spirit, it sounds great until you make that step. And if you can't help people adjust, try to educate them on what to expect, and, you know, it's key today.
Yeah, you're right about you brought up a good point about companies don't prepare themselves properly to sell their business.
Right.
As you know, Peter, I'm in the financing world for a long time, and it's always I'd say in, you know, today's market, a lot of times people are going to need financing, and then bankers are going to need to see cash flow and profit in history.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you know, financials just aren't set up properly to maximize someone being able to get a bank loan. It makes it tough. And then we've seen a lot of times where sellers never really 100% make that decision to move forward, and sometimes they'll stop the process. It's too much stress, pressure. They decide not to sell. It's really tough sometimes. You know, but also with you know, just talking about the state of business today for that entrepreneur who's been downsized or out of work, deciding what to do, and they decide they want to get into a business. I mean, there's a lot of options out there. There's so many franchise systems. Do they buy an existing business? You know, what's your input on you know, how someone's game plan should be when they're going out to look for a business, Peter?
I think quality is key. You know, there's you know, to piggyback just a second on what you said about the ability to finance. You know, one of the toughest things is to tell a business owner that their business isn't ready to be sold, even though that might be the right decision.
Right.
And that, you know, let's take 6 months, let's take a year, and help prepare that business owner for their business to be sold. I mean, privately held businesses, people can be somewhat creative with those one-time expenses, but they expect to get paid for that. And So preparing that business owner, just because they say they want to sell, the right thing to do is tell them their business isn't ready yet, rather than take it to market. You know? And I think that's probably a big difference in some of the results we see today versus 10 and 20 years ago for our company. But I tell you, the key today is quality. You know, businesses, the privately held business that's ready to be sold, meaning books and records are in order, the business is in order, transferable leases are in place. You know, it's not, you know, you have two skittish people, the buyer and the seller. And just like you said, you know, the buyer decides it's too much hassle, they're going to walk away. You know, if the buyer starts due diligence to find out that, you know, the business has been in the same location for 15 years, the last 10 without a lease because everybody's friends, you know, that, you know, the first thing that's going to happen is that person's attorney is going to say, well, the landlord could triple the rent tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So quality sells, whether it's for us existing businesses or the franchisors we represent too. I think, you know, in the franchise world, because we can kind of comment on both sides, is, you know, make sure that the franchisor doesn't have to sell franchises to keep their doors open. You know, because if they have to sell units to show black ink, you know, it's questionable whether, you know, does their system really work, right? Are their franchisees making enough money that royalty flow is keeping the franchisor, you know, in good standing? And when we started our franchise showcase program, which is companies we represent and help with their sales, it was eye-opening to find out how many people, well, would come to us and say, well, you know, are you going to be able to guarantee us, you know, two referrals a month, because that's what we need. And need is a scary word when somebody's trying to sell you a business, right?
Right.
Like, an existing business, too. We need to sell by Tuesday tells me that on Wednesday they're out of business, there's probably not a whole lot to sell.
Exactly.
So, quality is key, whether it's new franchise product
or existing. If you could expand, Peter, a little bit on the quality, you know, for our listeners, you know, what that actually means sometimes, because I think a lot of our listeners may not actually know what that means when we're talking about quality business. The same thing as, like, you know, I guess a quality franchise. You know, I mean, there's good franchise opportunities and there's not so good franchise opportunities. And maybe if you could just expand on that just a bit.
Okay. From the existing business point of view, that would be, you know, provable income. Would probably be number one. There aren't liens on the business. Tax returns have been filed. There aren't any pending lawsuits or litigation. And, you know, the numbers that, whether it's a business broker, an intermediary, an M&A consultant, it doesn't really matter the title, but make sure that the numbers are provable and provable with strong backup, and that, you know, they are up to date with their vendors. You know, there aren't lines of credit out against the business that haven't been disclosed. So a lot of that gets done on how the business is presented initially, and then really rely on professionals to help with the due diligence. You know, accept the fact that you're buying a business. It's new in most cases to do that. Rely on experts to help you get through the due diligence process.
Well said.
And that's at every level, right? The accounting, the financial, financing, legal. You just have to have the right people you can trust around you. It's not something that you want to say, I'm going to save a few dollars on it and skip this stage to find out later that you were totally responsible to do the due diligence on the sale. You didn't, and now you're stuck with something that, you know, isn't going to fulfill the needs of your family. So with franchises, you know, I think, without trying to paint an industry, again, just as our opinion, we find that royalty-based franchisors seem to have a great deal more, interest in your success, right?
Right.
Versus the flat-fee franchisor. And what we've noticed, I guess, with the people we've put in the showcases, there seems to be the royalty-based franchisor that shares in your success, right? Their goal is the more income you generate, the higher their royalty.
Right.
There's always a product in the same market sector that's flat fee and usually says, we offer the same as blank, but we're cheaper.
Right.
Well, you know, today's world, you really do get what you pay for. And, you know, a flat fee franchisor, in a lot of cases, you know, the less services, the more of that flat fee they take to their bottom line. So to offer, you know, the same services that McDonald's offers for a tenth of the price, it's impossible. You can't
right.
do it.
Right.
But the sales pitch, again, is how to, you know, sell franchises. And so it's a key factor. I think with the franchise organizations, it's great. You know, talk to the franchisee base. If
mm-hmm.
the franchisor is only wants you to talk to their chosen list, you know, run and hide, right? You know?
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, so you brought up some good points, Peter, about buying an existing business, what a buyer should look for. Maybe expand on the quality for a franchise system. What other things that they should look out for? Marty and I are always stressing to never make a quick decision, of course. Do your due diligence. Call all the franchisees. You can never do enough homework. Are there other things that they should be, you know, some key things? People listening, looking to buy a franchise, you know, some of the top things that they should definitely be looking out for?
You know, this one might sound somewhat facetious, but don't get trapped into because you like the product that you're going to like running that type of business.
Right.
Okay?
Well said, yeah.
And so you take your interests, but you also take your skill sets. And again, an advisor should help you make that decision, I think, because, you know, example, Bob and I are going to be at the franchise show in Miami this weekend. And what you'll see is you'll see people that, for example, like to eat donuts, so they think they want to own a donut shop.
Right.
Right.
Find out that to be profitable in the donut business, you have to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning to make the donuts.
Of course,
yeah. And 7 days a week. Well, that really doesn't fit in to the lifestyle that they want for their family. So it's making sure that you match that franchise product and the expectations of what it's going to take to run that business to your financial lifestyle and your personal life. And people jump in and then contact us to jump back out again, right? Or quite honestly, the franchisor contacts us to help people jump back out that have made the mistake to say, you know, I still like donuts, but I don't want to be a donut maker. So,
that's interesting. What kind of characteristics do you guys look for, Peter? I mean, in your, you know, your partners or your franchisees, is there anything, any type of background that they need to have to work with you guys?
You know, over the last 12 years, we used to have a, you know, the MBAs and business acumen,
mm-hmm. yeah.
degrees, and to be quite honest with you, it didn't mean anything. When we looked at who was successful in our company,
right.
Two main trends, okay, other than, you know, be obviously financially solvent to be able to sustain till you're profitable, but take that scenario out. The personality type is somebody that I would call a deal junkie, okay, that gets
yeah.
all their satisfaction from the closing of the transaction, helping people on both sides, and not worrying about the cash flow that's going to come.
Right.
We get paid handsomely for what we do, okay? But second of all, there's a difference between a privately held business deal or a privately held deal maker and a Wall Street deal maker. The Wall Street deal maker doesn't care about people. It's all about P/E uh-huh. ratios and what's going to happen to the price of the stock.
Yeah.
Somebody that's going to help the private business buyer or seller needs to care about people. And if you don't, you'll fail in this business. I mean, if you can't truthfully help people and care about people.
Right.
So I tell you, perfect person for VR is the deal junkie who cares about people.
Yeah.
And rely on us for the rest, I guess, would be the sales pitch part.
Exactly. And also, you really can't fake that sincerity either, you know, about caring about people, you know, and I guess you guys see that, you know, when you take on new partners and new franchisees. So I think that's so important. And, again, I think this is very emotional for the buyer or the seller, you know. So absolutely, I think that's well said.
I think it's great, Peter, that someone just anywhere in the country who is, you know, is at a point, hey, should I buy a business? Should I should I invest in a franchise? And, hey, I need some help here. I'm new at this. Because like you said, most people buying a business are first-time business owners. It's great that they can go to a company like VR and get that professional help and be on kind of both sides, either buy an existing business or franchise. and that you're working with some solid franchise systems, and yet you have so many businesses for sale nationwide with all your offices. It, you know, really gives, you know, someone a very high chance that they're going to find something they like just working with your company.
Even, you know, and we obviously, like any other franchise, have the our good people and our bad people. I mean, that's just the way it is. But whether it's inside VR or just in our industry, make sure that the people you're working with can really fulfill the needs that you need. You know, it's a difficult process, you know, and it's a timely process. It's a very detailed process to buy a business, right? I mean, you guys know, going through the steps to financing is part of it. I mean, it's so detailed. And if you align yourself with the wrong people, and one of the things when we bought VR that struck us a little odd was, you know, over 70% of the people in our industry are part-time.
And wow.
The first thing that we mandated in VR was there wasn't going to be any home-based businesses. Our people couldn't buy this and run it part-time.
Right.
And, you know, so ask the right questions. You know, I mean, it's a nasty plug, but there's a audio white paper you can download from our website that says the 12 questions you should ask your intermediary before you, you know, engage them to buy or sell a business. And the first one is, you know, are you working full-time in this business? Because you figure you got the average business owner, it's not 40 or 60 or 80 hours. You let's face it, you know, you wake up when you're having a bad day in a cold sweat. Your best ideas come to you in the shower. So it's a 7 day. No matter what the hours are.
And,
you know, well, I can tell you right now that most people in our industry do not disclose that they're doing this part-time. So that's the
right
question. And when you're looking for representation, say, you know, are you a full-time business intermediary? Do you, you know, let's meet at your office so I can see it, right? You know,
right.
I don't want the office to, you know, let me move to Cheerios and we'll sit down at the kitchen table and I'll take your biggest investment you have in your life and try to sell it for you part-time.
Exactly.
And the same thing. So,
People, Peter, owning a VR business office and franchisee, it's what I like, and you know what motivates me being in franchising and financing. You're changing lives, you're helping people, you're changing their life, and you know, hopefully for the better, to have a business, they're be an entrepreneur, they're happy, they're controlling their own destiny, they're hopefully making more money, they're helping their family. I guess that's satisfaction you as the CEO and a lot of your offices get. I guess that's an element what motivates your staff and your offices, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you want to go home and smile about what you do for a living. At least I do, and I think the people that we surround ourselves do. And, you know, it's an old adage that my mother taught me, and it's, you know, you're only as good as your friends, right? So surround yourself with good people when you're buying and selling a business, franchise, non-franchise. Surround yourself with the right people to help you get through that process. The broker, the intermediary, the loan, you know, specialists, it does, you know, even the insurance, telecommunications, just don't cut corners, you know, align yourself with the best people.
Right. Great advice.
What about the training, Peter? What's that like? You know, I mean, for, you know, when somebody joins VR Brokers, I mean, I understand you guys got a pretty intense training program as well.
We, I guess it was about 3 years ago, we went to a company out of Seattle that does the Starbucks and Hewlett-Packard blended training approaches, and decided that we didn't want to rely on trade associations to do continuing education for our people.
Yeah.
And so we have 2 weeks of home study, which is made up of self-study online courses that they develop for us. We have 82 of those. Each one takes anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half to take, but there's a structured 15-course package that you take before you come to training in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And it's 1 week in class here in the sun and warmth, right? And then training's ongoing for us. It runs weekly, live on the internet, and then our conferences are run semi-annually, and then we continue to add to the sort of the online study portion of our blended approach. But I think one of the keys is that there's no additional cost to our training programs. You know, it comes back to us in the form of royalties later. So the more people are.
Interesting. So what's in the future for you guys, too, then, Peter? I mean, what's what's next? I mean, you guys have, again, that amazing history. I guess you've been around, I was at like 30 years, which is yeah. You know, congratulations for that. Where do you see yourself in another, I guess, 5 years down the road?
You know, we try to add two or three countries internationally where the model works every year.
Right.
And that started 4 years for us. Yeah, 4 years ago. So we're in Spain, Portugal, Turkey. We're about to open up in Italy and England.
Wow.
Strange, being Canadian, we held back Canada till last year, but we opened up three offices there. South and Central America, we're in Panama and Peru, Chile, Venezuela, Mexico, Argentina. And domestic growth, two things. One, we're about to roll out a veteran program to help those that are trying to transition and
right.
come up with a pretty wonderful program to eliminate our initial franchise fee for 50
great.
Veterans this year in small markets. So it's a $2 million commitment on our part.
Wow.
And then domestic franchises, if we grant over and above our Vet 50 program another 24 units this year, it's a boutique firm feel. So, and that gets people in training classes where there's no more than, you know, two or three franchises. It's at a time. So,
and that's great. You have a program for that.
Right.
Marty, it seems like in the last couple of months that's been a pretty hot topic for us. You know, veterans who should get certain discounts. And I'm an advocate of that. There's not enough being done, Peter, on the financing end for veterans coming back who've been protecting our country yet haven't had time to build up their net worth and don't have the collateral, the cash, and can use some incentives.
I know this sounds nasty, okay, but people have to put their money where their mouth is to help these people when they come back. And
right.
I'll give you an example. So we're in different veteran programs. And, you know, for the third straight year, we were voted one of the top 50 franchises for veterans. But,
right.
you know, when we help a franchisor sell a franchise to somebody, they're willing to pay us anywhere from 25 to 35% of their initial franchise fee. And in our franchise showcase program, then we actually rebate some of that back to the buyer. So they actually buy a franchise through us cheaper than directly through the franchisor. But at the same time, they'll give us anywhere from 25 to 35%, but they'll only give the veteran a 10% discount to join their system. Again, you know, buyer beware. Make sure that the programs being offered to you as a veteran are real.
Yeah.
And not done to generate press.
They've proven to be great franchisees, business owners in general, but especially to follow a franchise system.
They're perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was that we had on, Marty? We had on a veteran. But recently, you know, very successful franchisee.
Yeah, I think he was on his, like, 10th unit or something like that. And he was talking a lot, Peter. He said that, you know, franchising was really right up his alley, that the military certainly prepared him for going into his own business, you know. And again, that's not every person that serves in the military, but, you know, they seem to have those traits or the ability to certainly follow a system. You know, they're disciplined, they're teachable, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. We've seen, and I agree with you too, Peter. You know, we had, I can't remember who was the guest on, but, you know, we're talking about there are some companies out there. You know, we won't say the names that, you know, they say, okay, well, we offer a 10% discount to veterans, but it's not anything significant anyway because they still can't afford it. So your offer is very generous, Peter, you know, to, you know, veterans. I mean, that's something that would truly make an impact, you know, on the veteran community. And I agree with you. I think some of them out there just do it for press, you know, and I don't think that's right, you know, so... I think that's fantastic that you guys are doing that.
We, you know, we worked, and it wasn't just the initial franchise fee because, again, you know, that capital, you know, these guys have quite honestly been underpaid for every day they've been in the service and risked their life. They've been underpaid given, you know, the private world, right?
Yeah.
And so it's great. You know, you discount the initial franchise fee. We're going to waive it, but we looked at it and worked with our attorney to make sure that we weren't going to run into any kind of disclosure problems with other people that we'll grant franchises to this year. So we've been able to actually reduce our opening expenses and our expenses through the first 6 months by over 90%. Okay, by allowing the veteran to go into a small market, eliminate, you know, the need for an office, so we'll put them in shared office space because they're in the veterans program, and sort of make concessions all the way down the initial cost factors as
right,
well to get
right.
them up and operating, because the fees can be, you know, it's you got to look at the whole program, right?
Yeah.
How are you going to help this person that's on, you know, coming back? They have usually, if they've been in the service a while, they have some fixed income, but, you know, the capital isn't there unless they're going to, you know, borrow from family and friends because they haven't had the income. So the program, you know, we haven't gone to the press, to be honest with you. Say, oh, well, here, let's wave the VR flag. But
right,
you know,
right.
It reduces the cost anywhere from 80 to 90%, and we're waiving the initial franchise fee. So,
wow,
and we've picked markets. So.
Tell us a little bit more, Peter, about the franchise showcase. You know, the process of accepting a franchise into the showcase, and you know, I've you know read the highlights. It's really interesting, and you have a good thing going on with that.
The goal is to get to 250 franchisors. The program, VR always used to run a franchise program, and quite honestly, it wasn't very successful. And then it was copied by an awful lot of people, and it wasn't successful because there was no real benefit to the franchisor. So, you know, you wouldn't show their brand. And our goal in the program is twofold. One is, if we supply you with qualified leads, we want your resale business. Okay, because that's where we really excel. So that helps them with their franchisors or their franchisees. But the way we select franchisors, it's no more than 20% of the program will be in companies that we'll call initial stages, 25 franchisees and under. But we will keep that 20% open because, you know, we'd love to hit the next McDonald's and be part of their growth, right? So, so we work with some of the franchise formation companies to put new product in. And the rest of it is really making sure that the franchisor has a good follow-up network. Again, I think everyone in there is a royalty-based franchisor rather than flat fee. Is growing. They have to supply us with a copy of their FDD to make sure that, you know, they're registered and legal to be doing business in the states where we're supplying them with leads. And then we literally take the interested party through a qualifying process. There's some online classes, again, for people to learn about franchising, what it is to be a franchisee, and what they should look for in a franchisor. We put them through, I don't like the word personality test, but, you know, pretty much, you know, trying to help them understand what their strengths are in the types of sectors they should be looking at. And then we, you know, start to introduce them to the franchisors, but it's not... We're involved in those initial stages. So the people in our office that work the program are actually on those initial calls to make sure that everything's being done reputably. The second fold for the franchisor is that every one of our offices has people come in who, quite honestly, their personality isn't to buy an existing business. It's they need to be in a franchise. That
right.
They look at an existing business and say, my God, they don't see the opportunity. They see, I don't want to buy somebody else's headaches. And that's
well,
the person that needs it to be in a franchise because now they've got a system,
yeah.
But it's a new business.
Right. That's an interesting way to look at it. What's the best way, Peter, for our listeners to get more information on all your different services? Is there any, like, one particular website that they can go to get information on you guys?
VRBB or VR Business Brokers. They're both the same website.
Okay. Easy enough.
.com, okay, good.
.com, yeah. And I want to thank you again, Peter. You've been a fantastic guest. And again, congratulations on, you know, 30 years of doing this. It's fantastic. And Don and I would love to have you back in the near future as we watch you guys continue to grow.
Let me know how I can help.
Thanks so
Peter.
Much, Peter.
Great
have
job.
A great day today. That was a great show, wasn't it, Don?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice talking to a company and system that's a leader in their field. And I like what they do. If someone goes to a VR office, hey, we have franchises, we have businesses for sale. Nice variety, a one-stop shop, and they obviously know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so emotional, too, isn't it? I mean, you know, and you used the word on several occasions throughout the interview, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, picture in your case, you selling your business. I mean, you know, it's been part of you. It actually becomes your identity in a way, doesn't it? You know?
Right.
I think Don Diamond Financial Services, you know, I mean,
right.
It's you, you know, so it is it's very emotional. So I think it's an important service. And again, I think that probably the most successful brokers are the ones who, you know, are sincere, you know, and truly care, you know, and
like Peter said,
people.
You have to have the professional help. There's so many important decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do really with us, MBAs or, you know, anything like that. You know, it's a people business. It really is. You know?
Right.
So it's very interesting. I'm glad we finally had them on the show. I've been familiar with them for a very long time now, and I don't know why it's taken so long to get them on the show, but I'm glad that we finally had a chance to speak to them. You know, so it's a good
Definitely.
Show.
Good.
So good show, Don. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. And I'll be talking to you next week, Don. Good
Have
job.
Have a great day.
Thanks, everyone. Take care.